Just want to welcome everyone. I would probably say this every week, but today's message, you want to hear. You really need to hear. Because I'll be speaking about sin, and that's your greatest problem. It's not your career problem. It's not your, I don't know what to do with my life problem. But it's the sin problem, okay? Hamartiology, I don't know whether you ever heard of that word. Hamartiology is doctrine of sin, okay? Sin, doctrine of sin. Hamartiology is central to Christianity, okay? Just as I explained to you last week, we all have view of God called that theology. Only problem is, you may have the right one, or you may have completely skewed one, okay? Just think about it, right? There are a lot of people who, you know, all over the world, they put water in front of a tree, and they bow down like 1,000 times, and thinking that God will save them. That's their theology, right? That's a wrong theology, and that wrong theology will not save you. Okay, so with that as an introduction, hamartiology, that word sounds funny. The title for today's message is Slaves to Sin. Oh, that sounds terrible, isn't it? But who are we talking about? You. Every single one of you. Me too. Okay, what make you say that, Pastor? Well, right here. John chapter 8, verse 34. This is Jesus. We've been talking about who is Jesus. For those of you who are joining today for the first time, in Mark's gospel, Jesus is the Evangelion. He is the Lord and Jehovah of the Old Testament incarnate. He became a man. That's Christian faith. Okay? Jesus, who speaks the truth, he said, he answered them, truly, truly, I say to you. Can you believe that? He doesn't lie, but when he says, truly, truly, I say to you, I think you should listen to that, okay? Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. I'm going to pause, okay? And you may be saying, oh, I don't sin. Okay, I don't sin. Well, then you could sleep. Okay, but if you do sin, you should pay attention, okay? Because it says, everyone, white, black, Asian, doesn't matter. Everyone, rich, poor, male, female, doesn't matter, right? Everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. And then he explain, the slave does not remain in the house forever. What is he talking about? Okay, father's house, home. Okay, but son remains forever. So if the son, this son is Jesus now, set you free, you'll be free indeed. Okay, just think about this for a moment. We Americans, people who grew up in this country, we heard about slavery, okay? So we have an image of slavery, okay? And slavery is not a good thing. It's a horrible thing, okay? I don't need to go into that, but Bible is declaring that you are slaves to sin, okay? What does that mean, okay? Here's a picture. Please, with respect, I want you to look at this, okay? That's a slave monument. I'm not sure exactly where that is. Slave chained. That's a horrible picture, isn't it? That's you. That's me. Without freedom. What does slave do? Whatever the master tells you to do. That's what you are. The question is then, who is the master? You see this chain? Sort of like leash. Somebody's holding this, right? Who's that? Who's the master? Well, Bible says sin? Isn't sin something I do? Well, that's your view of hamartiology. Sin is much more than that, according to the scripture. Okay? Bible says sin is not outside you do things. Sin is inside, and your orientation and your desire, your everything. In other words, the master dictates every faculty of your being. Just think about that. Your mind is skewed. Your heart is tainted. Your lips are, your words are foul. Your action is questionable. Everything is affected. Every faculty of you. Every corner of fabric of your being. That's what slavery means, okay? So, really thinking about this throughout this week, because I don't think people understand sin. Because without understanding sin, what's the good news? Okay? So, how do we see sin? Okay? Three main sources, and they are all very powerful. Okay, could you look up here? Yeah, look up. Okay, three powerful sources. One is scripture, law. Two is conscience. Do you have conscience? Of course you do. Okay. And three, Holy Spirit. Now the thing is, first two, we all have it. But the third one, you do not have it unless you are Christian. Okay? I'm not trying to diss you or, you know, kind of like, unless you are fully surrendered to Christ and the Lord shine upon your conscience through his scripture, you do not have Holy Spirit in you. Okay? That's just the way it is. Okay? So let's just talk about this. Scripture, the law. People say, what is sin? Well, the simplest way to do it is the Ten Commandments. Do not steal. Okay? So when you steal, that's sin. Okay? But the problem is, what stealing what? So can I just ask you, some of you work, and you bring your company pen home. It was an accident. You're working, and you put things in your bag, and you came home, and company pen is in your house. Is that okay? So far, it's okay, but you keep it. And, you know, you begin to justify, oh, I'm going to do some little bit of work at home so I could bring another one. I could bring another one. So when does it become sin, right? So just think about it. You know, Shelterock Road, right here, Shelterock Road, over there, right? I drive every single day, 35-mile zone by U.S. government or Nassau County government. You drive 45. Is that okay? Are you breaking the law? Not really. You are, but not really. You're okay, right? What about when you drive 100 miles an hour? Some of you do, I think. Yeah. Is that breaking the law? Absolutely. Let me make this scenario a little bit worse. You're driving 100 miles an hour and you kill a cat of this owner of this mansion. Are you in trouble? I think you are. Let's make that case a little bit worse. You're driving 100 miles per hour. You, God forbid, hit someone and he died. What happens to you? Will you be penalized? You better believe it. God gives the law. And you break it, and you will be penalized. Do you understand? So that's the first one, scripture. Now, the second one is the really, really powerful one, conscience. That's a scriptural faculty you all have. It's a God-given faculty for you to see what is right and what is wrong. You are all moral beings because God made in his image, right? You feel bad when you see someone is beat up by five people, right? And you probably get upset. That's not right. I don't know whether you will be ready to go fight for that little person, but you just feel that's not right. What about this old lady is, you know, just driving by, and this big guy pulls over and just blocks her and opens the door and beat her. Would that upset you? I think it will, because you have conscience, right? When you do what is wrong, you feel guilty or you feel ashamed or you feel fearful. Have you ever feel fearful? You do something wrong? I have. Why are you fearful? You're fearful because it may be exposed. People will find out and I'll be penalized and ashamed. Isn't that what conscience is? We all have conscience. The problem is, the Bible speaks about four different kinds of conscience. Clear conscience. And then there is weak conscience. I bring a pen. Pen is okay, right? But I better not bring the computer, laptop home and keep it. Pen is okay, right? Weak conscience. And then there is sick conscience. It's just completely off. You're off. You can't really tell what is right and what is wrong. And then there is seared conscience, which means it's been like hardened to the point of irreversible. Maybe you are there. Then what do you do? If you look at this tree, the first one condemns. The law condemns you. If you break the law, it condemns. You know you're guilty, and you know you're going to be penalized. Law condemns. Second one, conscience condemns. But if it is distorted, you make excuses. Romans chapter 2, verse 15. Is that interesting? It's a God-given faculty for you to feel guilty. When you do something wrong is a good thing. Then you have a chance to look to God and ask for forgiveness. But if you just continue to make, you know, excuses, then you have no chance, because what you are trying to do is you're hiding, right? You stole things and you began to make excuses. That's not good. But this condemns and this condemns. What about the Holy Spirit? Those of you who are Christian. Okay, Holy Spirit is the spirit of sonship. He convicts you not as an accuser, but he convicts you as a father. Son, I don't think you should bring a pen. I think you should take it back home. If it was a big laptop, I think you should take it back and you should apologize. Ask for forgiveness. That's the Holy Spirit. You look at pornography, right? Oh, it's okay. Rated R is okay, right? When do you draw the line, right? The conscience will begin to bother you. But the problem is, if you continue to watch it, it just begins to make your conscience seared. See, you know why pornography is a wrong thing? Because you will have this image for the rest of your life. Only by grace you could forget that. By rest of your life and you go into your own marriage. That's not fair. That's just not fair, right? Holy Spirit convicts your sin. Can I give you just a little bit more about what sin is, hamartiology, from the Bible? You may have hamartiology of your own, okay? Sin, as long as it's not that big, it's okay. As long as it's, you know, everyone else is doing it, it's okay. No. You know why? Because sin is primarily between you and God. Okay, let me say that one more time. In Psalm 51, David prayed, "To you and to you alone I have sinned against you." Okay? He killed a person and he committed adultery. King David, a man after God's own heart. But he prayed by the Spirit convicting him. Sin was oppressing him. He couldn't sleep. It was as if his bones were cracked by God. Have you ever had a bone broken? God forbid, I didn't. But can you imagine God is breaking your bone? That's how painful it was. But sin has mainly to do with you and God. I was in the hospital this week. I visited hospital every day until yesterday, this whole week. One of our 권사님, elderly a woman, is in the hospital, and she's a godly woman, right? And she went into the hospital right after last Sunday's worship service. She was fine. And then she has this major condition that she had 48 hours left, doctors say. Okay, but she survived. But I went in every single day to, you know, to try to comfort the family and strengthen her and pray for her. And here's the thing. You know, you're all going to meet God, whether you like it or not. If not now, one day you will. Yeah, one day you will. Okay? All men are destined to die. And then you will see God for judgment. Judgment about what? Your sin. Now that's a problem. That really is a problem, isn't it? Scripture says some little bit more about hamartiology or sin, doctrine of sin. It's not just actions. Okay? It's much more than that. It's the internal life and orientation, and it's described as something that is alive in you, like an alien. Sin is the master. It is personified, and sin is in your heart, reigning in your heart. Okay? And it's like cancer, but it's much worse. Someone said, cancer, when you die, at least the pain is done. But Spurgeon said, when you have sin, when you die, the pain just begins. Suffering just begins. That's Christian doctrine of hamartiology. Okay? It's incurable, it's terminal, and it kills you, and it's your problem, and it's my problem. It's not God's problem, it's our problem. As I prayed in the beginning, it's your problem. Your sin is against him. You offended him, and he came to solve that. Can you make that sense out of that? You don't even care. But he cares. Okay? So, remember these scripture, the law, conscience, and Holy Spirit. You have the scripture. You know that. You know the commandments. Do not steal. Why is it a sin? Someone say, because it is the law. Can you just bring anything, any stones from any illegal product from different countries to U.S. and try to come in? Why is that wrong? Because that's the law. If you break the law, what are you doing? You are going against the government of U.S. government. What are you doing? You're becoming an enemy. You know what sin is? Becoming an enemy of God. Why is it sin? Because it is the law. And he's God. Right? Second, conscience. You do have conscience. We all have conscience. You still a pen, or you still a major desktop, whatever, it should bother you, okay? And that's a good thing, because then you have a chance to ask for forgiveness and return it and have the clear conscience, right? So let me go on. Romans chapter 2 speaks, if you could just look at this. This is for Gentiles, meaning those people who do not have the law. You may not know the Bible, okay, but it refers to you, okay? They show that the work of the law is written where? On their heart. It is written. When you beat up an old woman, it will bother you, shouldn't it? Because it is written on your heart. While their conscience bears witness. Witness is a legal term. That's right. That's not good. You wronged. You did something wrong. That's not right. Conscience bothers you and you begin to feel guilty and ashamed. But there's a conflicting thoughts. And there's conflicting thoughts. Accuse or even excuse them. Right? Verse 16. However, on that day, please look at this. On that day when, according to my gospel, Paul is saying, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. This is the gospel. One day, he judges. Now you have an opportunity. Later, you may not. Now you do. Okay? So that's about conscience. The law is written in your heart, and conscience witnesses that. You get that, right? When you eat a pint of ice cream, your conscience is bothered. That's a bad example. Forget it. Forget that one. Yeah. But your conscience. When you accuse someone, when you always backbite someone, it should bother your conscience. Okay? What about Holy Spirit? This is Jesus talking right before his death when he's talking about, Holy Spirit. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict concerning sin, concerning righteousness, and concerning judgment. Holy Spirit will tell you, are you righteous? Holy Spirit, if you have given your life to Christ because you see the impossibility of your own life, Holy Spirit will tell you, you are righteous, perfectly righteous. You are my child. That's what he does every single day. Do you hear that? Or do you just feel guilty? Right? So today we're going to Romans chapter 6, which is a great chapter. There's no way to explain everything, but I'm being a little bit ambitious. I want to just explain this topic of sin, hamartiology, from Romans chapter 6. And I was thinking about this morning, I was up early, thinking about, should I speak in a tone that you really don't understand this? Or should I talk about in an approach of, you already understand this? And then I was reading through, thinking through Romans 6. The Bible speaks to those who already are Christians. Okay, so I'm going to speak like that. And if time allows, at the end, I really thought about, in front of, 70, 80, 100 people, I'm going to ask you to come at the end of the service if you want to be crucified to your sin with Christ and have a brand new life. I'm going to ask you to do that, actually, okay? So I'm giving you a heads up. So let me just read this, Romans chapter 6. For if we have been united with him in his death, like this, we shall certainly be united with him in resurrection like this. Okay? In other words, you die with Christ and you will be resurrected with Christ. Get this, there is no resurrection unless you die. If you die with Christ, then you will be resurrected with Christ. Okay? We know that our old self was crucified. Okay? With him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Can you look at this? No longer be enslaved to sin. Could you just kind of let that sink into your heart? Is that you? Is that you? I really want to ask you this question. Is that you? You're no longer enslaved to sin. This is Christianity. Christian. This is just simple Christian. Not missionaries to Africa, but Christians. People who have been crucified with Christ. You're no longer enslaved to sin. I tell you something. When you're a slave, you have a master. In other words, you have a master in your life. You do it because you have a master. Master tell you to do it because you're a slave. Okay? Continue to sin. Continue to steal things. Continue to look at the filthy stuff. Continue to, be angry at other people. Continue to blame people. You do it because you are a slave. But you know what Christianity is? The master has changed. There's a huge kingdom change. People don't get this. That's why people say, oh, if I go to church more and I'll be good people, if I don't read the Bible anymore, then I become a bad people, I lose salvation. No, that's not how it works. Your kingdom has been changed, which means the king has been changed. Isn't that a great news? In other words, king has mastery and dominion over you. That's why you can't help but to do it. Now, if you're a Christian, Holy Spirit, Jesus is your king, and he reigns your heart. Do you get it? That's Christian faith. Right? Not, you know, if I go to small group, then I become a Christian. I become a child of God. If I don't, then I lose my salvation, and sin is normal. No, sin is not normal. It's not normal. Get this, okay? You're no longer enslaved to sin, okay? For one who has died, been set free from sin. Free from sin. Can I show you this picture again? You don't have that chain anymore. Unless you have Christ reigning in your heart, you have that chain. That's why you cannot help but to open that images every single day. You hate it. Maybe you enjoy it a little bit, but you hate it, but you cannot help it because your heart is drawn to it. And you hate that feeling of guilt. And you hate that feeling of shame. Make sure nobody look at me. Right? Slave to sin. But the chain has been broken if you come to Christ. Is that your Christianity? That's being a Christian according to the scripture. Hamartiology. Not according to your hamartiology. According to the scripture. Okay? I'm going to go continue. Okay, three more. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, in your life, to make you obey its passion. Do not present your members to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God. Sort of like an offering to sacrifice. Present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. You continue to live in sin, you will die. No question. Forever. Brothers and sisters, please look at me. You continue to live in sin, you will die. Forever. Okay? But present yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instrument of righteousness. Verse 14, for sin will have no dominion, power over you. Do you understand? Don't listen to the lies. This is the gospel. Sin no longer has dominion over you. You have been free. You have a new king reigning in you. Can you picture this? If I have a God as my king, will Satan be able to be victorious in my life? Absolutely not. You always fear. Always trying to make excuse. I don't think that's how it works. Just as when Satan is reigning in your heart, it is affecting every faculty of your being. When Holy Spirit is reigning in your heart, it affects every faculty of your being. Doesn't that make sense? Your mind. I want to read the scripture. Love for the scripture. Your heart. Right? That's right. I don't think I should steal a pen. I don't think that's correct. Holy Spirit will tell you, right? Son, I don't think that's good. You should take it back and apologize, ask for forgiveness, and don't do it again, son. I love you, son. And I'm speaking to you because you are my son. That's what Holy Spirit does, right? Sin will have no dominion. Now, I really want you to get this. You're sinning because sin has power over you right now if you don't have Christ. But if you become a Christian, Jesus is the king, and he has the dominion over you, and you may sin, but you hate sin. Do you understand that? There is a difference. Rather than, I don't mind sinning, It's okay for me to sin. I think it is normal to sin, falling up and down, kind of like excuses we saw in Romans chapter 2, verse 15. You don't do that. But Holy Spirit affects every faculty of your being, your mind and your heart, your lips, your action, and your life. Isn't that a good news? Isn't that a good news? If you just continue to live like this, not only you suffer in this world, in darkness, and then suffering just begins. Just begins, according to Spurgeon. Okay? Oh, I got this picture. It's really a nasty picture. Here's the bad master with a baby. And here's a mother begging for the baby. Dominion. Oh, I forget to explain. The word dominion is kurios, which means Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is kurios. In other words, sin and Satan is your kurios, your Lord in your life. You don't want that. You want to come to Christ. Right? Dominion like that. You know why you're sinning? Because Satan and sin is curious over you. Okay? A couple more verses. But thanks be to God that you were once slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart. I want you to get this, please. When you have Christ regenerated your heart, new heart, right? It's not like pulling a tooth of following Christ. You want to follow Christ. You want to follow Christ. You want to give to the Lord. I want to give to the Lord because not because I have to, but I really desire to, because I love Him because He first loved me. I want to be obedient to Him. Not, okay, I'll do it. Right? One slave to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of the teaching to which you are committed. And having been set free from sin, done deal, errorist. If you look at the original text, this is done. It's not like slow process. You don't become a child of God slowly. You're a child and you are declared righteous and you become righteous. Spurgeon says, he who calls you righteous will make you righteous. Do you get it? Brothers and sisters, we totally misunderstand Christianity and sin and salvation and be deceived. Don't. Okay? As I'm explaining this today, I just pray that you will begin to feel hopeless about your sin. I really do, actually. Without Christ, you should feel hopeless, because you are hopeless. I was in the hospital this week, you know, with that Kwanzanim. Little bit of medical knowledge that I know. I don't know how she's doing. She's still alive and doing well. She's 85 years old and has no fear of death whatsoever. Have you ever seen a person like that? And she's not someone that, I don't care about my life, I want to die. No. She has faith. She has absolutely no fear of death. She has a son who will be coming to church in about 30 minutes for KM service, who lives in Korea and he doesn't know Christ. And she keeps praying, Lord, help me to stay alive until he arrives. And he arrived on Tuesday or Wednesday, I forget. And I was there, and this old Kwanzanim keep telling him, Adura, I have just one desire before I die. I want you to follow Christ. I have just one desire. I want you to go back to the Lord. Isn't that amazing? You're one slave to sin, but you are obedient from the heart. It's not a pulling a tooth thing. I don't think so. You're greatly mistaken if you're thinking that. That's your hamartiology. Wrong hamartiology. Sin, you began to loathe it, hate it. Why? Because you love Christ, began to love Christ. Don't you want that? Today, I ask you to come and crucify yourself, old self, life of sin. Okay? Paul explains, you're a slave to sin, but if you die, you're no longer a slave. But what happens to me then? But you're resurrected to the slave, to the righteousness and God. Do you understand this? It's not that difficult. Okay, last one. But now that you have been set free from sin, those of you who are Christian, genuinely surrender all to Christ, regenerated your heart, Spirit lives in you. Now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. That sounds terrible to some of you, but you know what? We are all made to be servants because we are not God. We're like a middleman manager, as Keller says. We have God, and we reign over, dominion over animals and the world. But we are never meant to be God, because we are not God, right? So your option is, you slave to sin, or slave to God. There's nothing in the middle. One leg here, one leg here. No, there's nothing like that. That's your hamartiology. I'm losing the word. That's your theology, which is contradicting the scripture. Okay? Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification. If Spirit reigns in you, shouldn't you become like Jesus? That's called sanctification. How do you do that? Instead of offer your life to the unrighteousness, slave to God, sin, you continue to offer your life to God and righteousness. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, right? Therefore, brothers, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, offer your life, present your life as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by renewing of your mind. You know what? That's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. You look at taking one pen from your work, and you don't take it lightly. I mean, that's an illustration. You look at this questionable stuff on computer, you don't like it. I told you, I got rid of all the YouTube from my mobile stuff. I don't want to take any chance. It just takes one click, right? When you're looking at something, there are all these different things. So easy. I don't want to take that chance. I hate sin. I want to continue to hate sin. Okay? For the wage of sin is death. This is hamartiology of God. You sin, you're going to die. You're going to have to penalize. You drive 100 miles an hour on Shelter Rock, you kill someone, you must be penalized. There's no excuse. The penalty of sin is death. There's no excuse. But the gift of God, grace of God, is eternal life to you who deserves penalty. You and I deserve penalty. Okay? I want to just show you a summary. I read this sermon by Spurgeon. 140 years ago, he preached this, okay? In England, Metropolitan Tabernacle, I think. And he says there are only two families of human race. See which one you belong to. Okay? He says there's a sin family. That's not a Korean last name, sin family. The sin family, right? And then there's a righteous family. And you are in Adam, sin reigning in your life. But you're in Christ. You're no longer enslaved by sin. Sin family heading toward death, and you're already dead. Christ family, righteous family, you have life. Look at you. Do you have life right now, you feel? You don't even have to wait until you die. Do you feel like you have life? Or do you feel guilty all the time? Fearful all the time? Fear that people may find out about you? Your secret things. And then, sin family reigned by transgressions. God says, do not kill, you always cross, transgression. Whereas righteous family, grace, right? And lastly, sin family, you are a slave to sin. And righteous family, slaves to God. Oh. Okay, we're good. Last slide. Okay, I shared this last week. I'm going to share this again for those of you who are joining for the first time. Okay. On Saturday nights, a lot of people come over to my house and they are very loud. So I leave after dinner. Okay. I mean, they're very loud. And I go to Starbucks. Okay. And I prepare for today, read, fall asleep, drink my latte. And then 10 o'clock, they close. And one of the worker comes to me and goes around and said, "You have 5 more minutes, okay? 5 more minutes. In other words, I should be ready to leave, right?" 10 o'clock hits. She comes over to me and she said, "Time's up. Time's up." What is she saying? "It's time for me to go home. Time to leave." Jesus came. The God of the universe, Jehovah, Evangelion, everlasting God, for your sin problem, and he's saying, time's up. Time's up. Kingdom is here. He's the king. You want to continue to be reigned by Satan and sin? No, time's up. It's time for you to go home. Come home. What do you have to do? Nothing. Just repent. That's not nothing. Repent. And just surrender everything unto him unreservedly. Okay? You have sin problem. Don't justify your sin problem. Sin problem is immediate problem. Can we just bow?